America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live, the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The more and more we talk about Juan Soto, the more and more scared I am about the Mets going crazy and signing him to that 12-year, over $700 million contract, because we saw them go hard after Yamamoto last year and Steve Cohen flying to Japan and having him at his house. And I know that Juan Soto's 26 years old, and I know he plays all the time. And I know if you're going to go all in on a free agent, it is this guy. And I don't know if there's a comparable, maybe other than A-Rod, a comparable guy. Well, actually, you know what? Manny Machado and Bryce Harper did hit free agency right around the same time.
What about Aaron Judge?
He was 30. So
okay,
not the same.
See what you're talking about.
We're talking about 25, okay. 26, hitting free agency and things working out. So, like, all right. So now, as I'm talking myself through this, like, Bryce Harper was a big signing for the Phillies, and that worked out.
At what, $300 million?
Right, so which was the going rate at that time.
Yes.
You know what I'm like, which was a few years ago. But yes, it was a going rate at that time. So that's something that worked out. He fit in with the Phillies perfectly. Even though they haven't won a World Series, they went to one. They're competing. They win the division again. He is the leader. There's no two ways about it. Would you say that the Manny Machado deal is something that's really worked out for them? I mean, they've gone to the playoffs a few times. It hasn't been a bust.
No, but has he been, you know... I mean, they've been good. You know, that owner that has since passed away, you know, really wanted to get a championship and really wanted to fight the Dodgers. And in order to do that, he had to go out and get, you know, like Manny Machado and pay these guys.
Sure.
And a number of other guys, too, by the way.
I guess it's the history of big free agents and most of them not working out. But I mean, if Juan Soto is Bryce Harper and... Then of course you take it.
But just so you know, Bryce Harper has a deal until he is 38 years of age. So he will be with the Phillies, assuming he sees the entire contract through, to the age of 38, 2031.
Okay, so if Juan Soto is 26 now, 12 years brings him to 38.
Right, so Bryce Harper got 13 years, $330 million. His average salary would be $25 million. So basically Juan Soto is trying to triple this.
I mean, it's crazy. When was that contract signed? What offseason?
That was back in 2019.
So we're talking...
He was 26 years old.
Which is exactly what Juan Soto is.
Yes.
So you're telling me... In 5 years,
he signed a 13-year, $330 million contract with the Phillies that included a $20 million signing bonus, $330 million guaranteed at an average salary of $25.3 million.
So it's more than, it's not quite triple of what we're thinking. But you're telling me in 4 years, Juan Soto is going to get a contract that's more than double what Bryce Harper got?
I mean, I would say more than double, yes. I'm not going to sit here and say $600 million. unless the Giants do something crazy to kind of offset the Dodgers, but according to a number of reports about Juan Soto. He wants to be on a winning team as well.
Do you remember back, because I mean, we were working together 2019, but I don't really remember the reaction to the deal. Did we think that was a crazy contract that Bryce Harper got? Maybe the 13 years was a lot of
yes.
time, but...
Yeah, I mean, at that point in time, it was $25 million a year.
Which is nothing today.
I thought the pitchers' contracts were crazy, just simply because they all break down. Every single one of them break down, and normally that would mean a year and a half, you're paying them, and they're not playing.
I mean, you could look at this Bryce Harper contract right now and say it's a bargain.
100%.
So, like, are we going to be looking at the Juan Soto contract 5 years from now and saying it's a bargain if he gets what we think he's going to get?
No. I think that there's a certain point where I don't think we're going to see. I never thought I'd see a $700 million player in my lifetime.
And we did already.
The only player that I think right now that really truly deserves a significant upgrade in his pay to what he's making now, and what he's making now is very good, would be Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
He is worth the price of admission, and whatever Kansas City's worth is right now is due in large part to his success.
Because I've never, like, generally when there's a free agent out there that I know that the Mets are in on, I mean, I'm talking for years and years and years, all the way back to the days of Jason Bay and some of these guys that would come in. Like, I would have a real strong take on whether I wanted the guy or not. Like, real strong take.
Did you want Jason Bay?
No, there was the other guy that I wanted, Carlos Beltran, badly. But there was Jason Bay and there was somebody else. Was it Matt Holliday? I think it was Matt Holliday and Jason Bay in the same offseason, and I wanted Holliday more than Bay, but I wasn't upset with Jason Bay. I was like, oh, it's fine. It's a nice little consolation prize. But, like, for whatever reason, I do not have that I really want or really don't want Juan Soto take yet, which is nuts to me because, I mean, I'm sure I'll get there. But, like, right now, if I found out that he signed with the San Francisco Giants tomorrow, which is not going to happen, I don't think I'd be all that upset.
You know what I remember? I remember about the Bryce Harper situation that I was shocked that it was as little as it was, and he went to the Phillies. Mm. Like, I felt like he wanted to go somewhere else and expected more money. Like 30 to 35 million a year, if I have the right memory about this.
Yeah.
I just felt like, wow, he only signed for that much for that long. Because I was thinking that here's the first overall draft pick. He's a great player. Why wouldn't you want him on your team? Mm-hmm. And I just felt like it never really got to the number that I think he thought he was going to get.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that happens to Juan Soto. I really do.
And Harper's a Boris guy too, right? Pretty sure. Yeah, this contract here, even more so than Ohtani, because Ohtani's a unicorn. Like, no one else is doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
This contract right here is going to be the standard, the thing that sets the bar for years and years and years to come.
So Manny Machado did sign an 11-year deal at the age of 30 for $350 million. He got a $45 million signing bonus and $350 million guaranteed.
But that was not his original deal, I don't think. Because I'm pretty sure he hit free agency at like 25, and then he got another contract, his newest contract. Had to have been a new contract. It had to have been, because he was, yes, he 2019, it was the same offseason.
All right, 2019. So, yeah, so he signed a deal, and it looked like he had an out or something. I'm assuming this is what it is.
Yeah. So
because after 2024, he had made $180 million total.
Right. So yeah. So and this is why I brought up those two guys, because I remember Harper and Machado hitting free agency at 26 was such a huge deal, and that's what Soto is doing now. Because both those guys came up when they were 19 years old.
So the Baltimore trade Machado to the Dodgers?
Yeah.
And then it went into free agency.
In there.
And then San Diego signed them.
Right. Yep. Yep.
Wow.
What? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I am not a proponent of like a $600 million deal for Juan Soto. I'm sorry.
But that's what he's going to get.
Maybe if somebody's desperate enough and feels like they have to give it to him. I'm not giving him that much money. I would try to keep it around $400 million. Didn't he turn... What contracts? He turned down two contracts. One from the Nationals. Of course, they were trying to buy out the early part of his career.
Yeah.
And then he also turned down a deal from the San Diego Padres.
Yep. The Washington one, I think, was inconsequential.
Because Washington, what's his name, Strasburg, ended up taking that deal.
Yes. Rejecting. The Nationals one, I'm seeing that. I'm not seeing the Padres one right now, but that was a 15-year, $440 million deal where the AAV would have been $29.3 million. And that was in 2022.
Yeah, so he turned that down. So in order to recoup the money that he has already turned down.
Yes, but you got to remember, he did with the arbitration, he's been getting massive amounts of money there, too. Like, he's probably getting, what did he get this year in arbitration? 25-something? So I think he was the highest arbitration player ever. So it's not like he missed out that much on that. Imagine that. Turning down $440 million because you know you're going to get more.
It's crazy, right?
Ugh! And you know what he's done? All he's done is stay healthy and produce ever since that.
No, he has definitely produced. There's no question. So he was making $31 million this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about money he lost, did he really even lose it? He actually made more money than that the average annual value of the deal he turned down.
So in 2021, he made eight. So this is the reason why. In 2015, he made $1,005,000, then $392,000, then $578,000, then $233,000. There was some bonus there, money, I guess, it looked like, because he made the All-Star team and things of that nature. In 2021, he made $8.5 million. And in 2022, it looks like he made $17 million. 2023, $23 million. And then $31 million this year.
So he didn't lose that much money by turning it down. And he's going to end up making more because...
I mean, you turned down a 400 and... What'd you
40,
say?
440. And he'll end up getting more.
Well, he'll end up, he would have to, what? How much more money will he have to make to cover the losses of what he would have made for 3 years there? Probably another $100 million?
Yeah, I mean, I think easily. I'm telling you, it's going to be over $600 million. And I would not be surprised if it was seven. I really don't.
I just don't see it. I'm sorry. I think he's a great player. And he's the number one free agent. There's no question about it. You think the Yankees are going to pay him twice as much as Aaron Judge? Not a shot.
Let's go to Doug in Morristown. What's going on, Doug?
Hi, guys. Well, 2 points. One, when Soto plays, he reminds me so much of Jeter and this guy, the shortstop of Kansas City, who are so good that they enjoy, you can tell they enjoy what they're doing. But I would just make one comment, if he's listening. Look at the Cano debacle. That guy was a great player. He went to Seattle. No one heard from him since. And what's his name? Cashman made probably the stupidest signing I have ever seen. He signed Ellsbury, was a singles hitter, who got hurt all the time, to money very similar to Cano. So I hope Cashman doesn't do that. And two, I hope Soto understands that he's in the greatest market of them all. And for him to play this to just for all the money in the world, which you can't even spend, is ridiculous.
Well, don't worry about that. He doesn't care about that. I mean, like if it's even Steven versus, say, like San Francisco and the Yankees. If it's close, I would think he would stay with the Yankees, if that were the case. Or he would go to the Mets. You know what I mean? But he's not going to go to San Francisco. I don't necessarily know that they have really a legitimate chance to win, given what's going on out there with San Diego and the Dodgers.
This is what will happen. Let's just say it's the Mets and the Giants that are bidding. And he would rather be with the Mets because the Mets had a nice season last year, went to the NLCS. But It's even right now. Like, both offers are right there. The same exact offer right there. Scott Boras wants to go to the Giants. Hey, if you want him, this much more. They are not going to decide between two teams with the same offer. They will take the offer where one team says, enough, and the other one says, I'll do it. And it doesn't matter where it is. Telling you right now.
And I would think that San Francisco would do the deal similar to the way that the Dodgers have done the deal with Ohtani to avoid as many California taxes as you possibly can.
Let's go to Rick in Morristown. What's up, Rick?
Hey, I'm just curious. When was the last time they raised the luxury tax in baseball?
The last time they raised it, I mean, they put
just
the,
Google it.
They put the Cohen tax on, which was like, if you go past this, you get penalized even more. And I felt like that was just a couple of years ago, but, I'd have to look that up for you. What other point do you have while I'm looking that up?
Well, I think across baseball, I don't think it makes any sense regarding inflation. I mean, these guys, not like football, I've seen raises in, the salary cap year over year.
I can tell you one thing, Rick. Yeah, they're not feeling the inflation the way you are. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, it's brutal, man.
Yeah, I know it is.
Yeah, so it was 2022 is your answer. That was the last time luxury tax was raised.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the dollar just down like 30% just based on that period of time.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. This something that we talk about seemingly every time with these contracts. I don't get it. I don't understand.
They paid in Bitcoin.
None of us can understand it. I mean, how there's going to be a team that's going to be able to multiple teams in baseball, which is now a regional sport.
Here's what I do think. I think if the Mets do sign them, they immediately sell season tickets, which is great, and their in-stadium sponsorships are going to go through the roof, and their sponsorships on SNY are going to go through the roof. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just going to happen. Although I don't think that they actually own SNY. The Wilpons still have it. So, but, you know, the other thing, too, you have to remember here for Steve Cohen, what is really the big picture for Steve Cohen right now? I know he wants to win a championship, and I know he wants to win and pack the stadium.
Well, he wants to develop over there and get the downstate license and have the casino.
Exactly. So that team has got to remain relevant. He's got to have a positive influence on that team, and that team's got to, you know, cannot fall apart. That's why, you know, I could see the Mets doing this because they have to stay relevant, and he wants to stay relevant, and he wants to build all of that, you know, that entire property over there. He wants to make into what he sees as this Bethpage Park thing, or this, not the Bethpage, Belmont Park thing.
Do you think that the downstate license given to the Mets, the Mets being relevant or not, affects that? Like, do you think that?
I do. I think being a good team. So, you know, Buffalo has wanted a new stadium for 20 years. The team has stunk. And then all of a sudden, Josh Allen shows up and they become a thing again. And he's the second coming of the great Jim Kelly. Guess what? Guess who's getting a stadium?
Yeah.
I mean, it all is part and parcel with winning.
It's also had a lot to do with the governor being from up there and currying favor to that part of the state, right?
Well, I think Cuomo would have done it too, because he gave the Islanders the UBS, you know, the land for UBS. He got them to build the stadium on state land. So I understand. Look, I don't care which governor would have done it. I think he would have done it too, because, you know, the Bills are a New York franchise. They are. And Buffalo needs something. They need more than just football. They need something. They need other things, too.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Everybody out there posting on X about the election. Al's put out a number of things today. He's got a poll out there. BT is also saying that, yes, he voted, but he will not put that sticker on to let everybody know that he voted and post on social media.
How are your polls going, Al? I'm not sure what they are.
I had pretty good polls. I did a couple political polls the last 2 days. I'll tell you the results. I said,
are these more accurate than Rasmussen and
I think so.
Polls?
Yeah.
Senek, go ahead.
I asked, who do you think will win the election?
Oh, yeah, that's a good poll.
I said, not who you voted for.
Okay.
Who you think will win.
Okay.
I got 66% Trump, but that could just say something about people who follow me on Twitter.
Right.
Not a real scientific poll. Then I asked this morning, do you think we will officially know who won by tomorrow morning? And 70% say no chance.
Yeah, given this quagmire that has become these elections and the lawyers and
don't they count votes in Pennsylvania like really slow too? Like I remember this, like
thing in Arizona.
They got like hand counting, like people sitting there, and it's like takes forever, doesn't it? And they close at like 9 o'clock.
The Arizona one is bizarre to me. The Arizona, and then the dumping of the mail-in ballots and all that other stuff that comes later. I'm like,
well, two, three.
Yes.
Yep. Just counting one by one by one.
If everyone's voted early already, why so those should be counted already then? Like, we just should be like a easier one than normal.
You would think so.
Yes, it should be. I don't think everybody has voted early, but there's was a larger early voting turnout. I also think that there's been more opportunities to vote early.
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 30.
So let me ask you, what do you think the most secure way of like sending money is?
Handing it to the person in front of you.
Okay, other than that, electronically, what would you say is the best way?
Zelle
or Venmo?
I don't know about Venmo, but I mean, you have to have a secure way of doing things, right? I mean,
Western Union.
I'm not sure what it is. I'm just saying, whatever the most secure way to share information or to send money on the, why can't they just do that with the voting?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you on that. I'm not sure.
I mean, it's just insane. Like of course, every state is different.
Yeah. You know, ours is this.
Still doing the number two pencils, Al?
No, there was a pen. I got a pen.
Oh, you got a pen now.
So I got a pen that I voted on Sunday morning. So I had a pen, you fill it in, then you feed the sheet into the thing. And then the person who's running the machine goes, you should see the number go up by one. So I fed the thing in, and it spit it back out at me like a dollar in a vending machine. And the woman goes, ooh. It's like, that's interesting. He goes, flip it over. So I flipped it over, sucked it back in, waited there for like 30 seconds, and went up by one.
There
I said,
go.
Thank you.
Okay.
So that's how it worked, at least in Suffolk County.
I was talking about Jersey.
Jersey?
Number two pencil down there, Al?
The Fort Ticonderoga number two pencil, correct.
Okay.
Yeah, and every time they...
Scantrons.
Every time I hear Fort Ticonderoga, I always tell the story about it. That's where Lee Corso used to work, was in the Fort Ticonderoga, the Ticonderoga Pencil Factory.
Wow.
And if you wanted to get him on as a guest, that was the number you had to call. was the Ticonderoga.
Wait, as a college basketball expert, he was still working there?
Yeah, he was still working there. Yeah, he had an office
in
there.
In the 90s, anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Remember, wow. And when someone told me that, I thought I was getting pranked. You know, they're like, no, you got to call the Ticonderoga Pencil Factory.
That is not an easy thing to say, Fort Ticonderoga.
Yeah.
Apparently Buccaneers is tough, too.
Yeah, I think this is I think so.
Such a child.
Yes, we are.
You are.
Oh, me. Yeah, it's all me.
I wonder if it's good. So this is the number I have at Lee Corso on my phone. I wonder if this is the Ticonderoga Pencil Factory. Let's see here.
Well, I'm sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer.
That's too bad.
Wipe it out.
We're sorry.
Delete.
We're sorry. Yeah, but that's what you had to do. Eddie, am I right? Did you have to do that as well?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be in an office.
And you'd get a message and you'd say something about how much you loved college football.
Yeah. Really strange.
On his answering machine, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, he was there. He was at that factory.
And that was until at least the late 90s before he became such an icon.
I did that in like 2006.
Yeah, there you go.
It's one of these factories that have moved to Vietnam or something.
Potentially. I don't know.
When do you think Hotel Bingo as a producer ended?
Oh, God.
You know, we were still doing that. I remember when I was producing Joe and Evan, we still were calling hotels. And that was when we had Brian Schneider on, the catcher of the Mets. Yeah, and yeah. They used to disguise his name Brian Christmas. I was like, you really think anybody's trying to find Brian Schneider in a hotel? But so like that's just as a basis. That was like 2007. I'd probably say... like 2010.
Right around there?
Yeah.
I'd say that probably was the end of that.
You always got a rush when you actually got the guy to pick up.
Oh, my God.
And then they'd hang up on you or they'd talk to you.
I think it officially ended when Al became the producer of Boomer and Carton.
Yeah, if you want to give up a segment of ratings, sure.
Well, you were also, when you were doing those overnight shows and stuff.
Yeah, I produced Beningo 98 to 99.
Did you ever call like all late at night like
all
that,
the
like
time.
West Coast stuff?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah. And it's the only time I ever get screamed at was Jay Horowitz screamed at me when I called. The Mets were in Houston. This wasn't a hotel bingo. This was, I called the press box right after someone hit a big home run. And Joe's like, call Jay. See if you can get him on afterwards if they win the game. So I called the press box. I asked for Jay. As soon as he's like, hello, I'm like, hey, Jay, it's Jerry from FAN. He just lit into me.
And the same story. Yeah, and I don't even blame him.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. It was always the day game after a night game. Mm. So the Mets had been on this long losing streak. They win on like a Wednesday night. They got a Thursday day game. Hey, call Jay, see if we can get a player. Meanwhile, in the last 2 weeks, this team stinks. It's been the worst I've ever seen. I don't know how you even watch this crap. You don't go to the ballpark. F them. Bunch of losers.
Yeah.
And they win one game. See if we can get a player on, bro. So then I called Jay.
You can tell Joe he's an a-hole. That's what you can tell him back. And tell him I said that. You know.
He sounds a little like Todd Bowles.
You can tell Joe to go F himself.
Amazingly enough, though, after he got it off his chest.
He was fine.
You usually got the player.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's like, okay, hold on.
Yes, that's so true.
Right.
If Roberto Alomar.
That's a sore subject.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was... Remember that one?
Ooh, oh, yeah. That was a rough one.
But when Sandy Alomar was on the headset?
Yeah, he was ripping okay. Roberto.
Yeah, that was...
Not knowing that Sandy was listening.
And he still did the interview, Sandy. Yeah. Still went through with it.
Very professional.
Anyway... all right, Jerry, what's going on?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. I got a couple David Stearns, but before I do that, so I played the day just to kind of put a wrap on this. The Dave Roberts thing was talking about the clip on the Mookie Betts podcast about how he acknowledged he would have been nervous coming or going back to Los Angeles for a game 6 had they lost game 5 and been from 3-0 to 3-2. Here he is, just as he kind of finished the thought, talking about how the mind would then start to wander, and then all of a sudden you start to think about what could be.
Then you're going to start potentially being, part of history in the wrong way, mm-hmm. a team that gave up a 3-0 because it's never been done in the World Series. We did it in the ALCS, the Yankees versus the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, that was the fear of going back. So to your point, yes, I managed with urgency.
Now that tells me he's sitting there in the dugout down 5-0 thinking, holy crap, yeah, we're going back up 3-2, and this is a series now. So that was very interesting. In terms of the Mets, they did qualifying offers to Alonzo Manaea and Severino. Here was David Stearns from these meetings yesterday essentially saying, yes, they've got a good budget and they've got money to spend, but they're not going to spend just for the sake of spending. It's got to be for the right guy and for the right contract.
There are bounds to what we can do, and there are bounds not only this year, but there are bounds in future years. And we have to be cognizant of all of those bounds. So you know, Steve is going to support what we think are our wise baseball initiatives. He's going to support those initiatives as much as any owner in baseball. And now it's our job to execute.
Now, one of the things that they asked them about as well, which I thought was interesting, are we not set on Mark Vientos being the third baseman? Wouldn't you think after this year?
Yeah, unless he moves to first.
Yeah, it depends on what goes on with Pete Alonso.
Maybe that's what the question was, because they were asking about what you're doing at first and third base, so maybe that's what he was referring to.
Yeah, well, I would take Bregman at third base and Vientos at first base if Pete Alonso went somewhere else.
Here was his answer.
Or I think we'll see how the market plays out. I think... yeah, we're fortunate. I think we have some infield depth. Obviously, Pete has been a big part of this team for a long time, and certainly we're going to keep in touch with him.
How about Bregman, Vientos, and Alonso? There are your first, third baseman, and DH. Right there, those three.
Sure. Pete's not going to be here. You can just tell. Like, you just hear it. Unless he decides to take like a 1-year deal and try to have a better year going into free agency next year, The president of baseball operations just said, we'll keep in touch publicly about Pete Alonso.
I mean, if you're Pete Alonso, this is the moment for your money right now. Somebody will take him. Somebody will give him a big contract. I don't know if it would be a 6-year contract. But
Willie Adames.
Yeah. You like that guy.
How about Santander?
I like him, too. That's who Al wants.
Why do you want Santander?
I want that guy from the A's.
The Brent Rooks?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
I thought you said you wanted Santander from the Orioles.
They're like equal to Juan Soto, and they're going to get nothing compared to Juan Soto. Well, I don't know why everyone's so hooked on Juan Soto.
You like Juan Soto. You like Juan Soto. I like Juan Soto.
I actually think it's because his name is quick and easy to say. Like people go, Juan Soto, Juan Soto.
Well, Jerry loves Juan Soto.
Yeah, you can't
I love Juan Soto.
He does love Juan Soto.
You can't say Santander so quickly.
No, you can't say that quickly.
You like Juan Soto?
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't?
It's almost like liking Brandon Inge. It's kind of along those lines. I mean, that's how
you like
much
Inge.
I like Soto better than Inge.
I happen to like Inge a lot. I do. I happen to like his Inge.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago. That's over 10 years ago.
I found a Brandon Inge signed baseball that I have. Somebody sent it to me. That was crazy. That was like 2 days ago.
That's worth the price of the baseball. Oh, man. So you got all the baseball stuff going on. In football, the Chiefs beat the Bucs in overtime 30-24. Kareem Hunt, the game winner from a couple of yards out, capping off a 106-yard night. Patrick Mahomes, 2 touchdown passes, both to DeAndre Hopkins. Here was Andy Reid talking about Mahomes and Hopkins. It was their first game together in Kansas City, and says you can see the connection already.
He's got a lot of trust in him, and you've seen DeAndre make those catches over his career. Get two great players thrown to each other, sometimes great things happen. And so it's not the way we drew it up, but it was a good finish.
It certainly finished. You're not kidding. Here's Todd Bowles. They had an opportunity to take the lead after scoring the touchdown with 27 seconds to go. Did you give any thoughts to going for two?
Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So we had our shots. You know, we lost the game.
They did, and they'll take on the 49ers this week. And it looks like Christian McCaffrey may play in that game as he was back on the practice field for the Niners yesterday. I'm going to play something because this is very relatable for me going back a few years. Interesting when you travel with NFL types, you better be early. Here was Joe Buck on the Jimmy Traina podcast. Don't be late for Troy Aikman.
We were in Cincinnati, staying in Kentucky in some little hotel, and our car is 4:30, and it's 4:20, and I get in there, and Troy's in the back seat, And I know Russell's not there. And I'm thinking, new guy. Troy's like, what are we waiting on? And Sean's like, we're waiting on Russell. Russell's not down here. He goes, this will be the last time we wait on Russell.
So now I bring it back to me because I go to the Super Bowl in San Francisco. And who didn't get to the car fast enough after our show to go to dinner? Me. And who left without me? Him.
Oh, yeah. See ya.
Mm-hmm. And this dinner wasn't close.
Yeah, you're on your own ass. Yeah, I'm not waiting on you. Let's go.
And I had to find my way to dinner, which
you,
I did.
And you did.
And I wasn't late to the car either. I just wasn't early enough for you because yeah. I had to record one thing for that stupid next day show that we were
just
doing.
Just so you know, I am on Tom Coughlin time.
And I
that's
am too.
All I'm saying.
But I had
it's the
to.
Way I've always lived it. This way I've always worked it. And this way it's always going
to
be.
I had to record.
I am inflexible when it comes to that.
But I had to record one thing for Eddie for the show.
Okay.
And you said you got 2 minutes and we're leaving. And you left.
See ya.
One of my favorite things in the world is when we're waiting to go somewhere and we don't know where Eddie is. And then you look around and it's like that original Sasquatch video. You just see him walking.
Oh, there he is. He's on his way. He's coming.
My favorite was years and years ago, Boomer was taking us all to New Orleans on a nice plane. He was treating the staff, and we were all on the plane, and Eddie was... But you could see him miles away walking up slowly.
In no rush.
No rush.
Plane's not leaving without him, and it didn't. You did wait. In that regard, you did wait for him. The devil shut
I almost told the pilot to shut the plane and let's go. And not only let's go, let's turn the plane around and blast it with the jet engines.
Could have been funny.
Yes.
The devil shut out the Oilers 3-0. You've got the Islanders and the Penguins coming up later tonight. Time now for Moment of the Day, brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. I was going to go with the Shine clip, but instead talking Monday Night Football earlier. And yes, Eddie dropped a new Boomer soundbite.
There's a certain point when you lose three in a row. How many positives are you going to take away from it before you really get sick of it?
Yeah.
Well, fucking years.
That's a strange way of saying it.
They lost last night.
Yes, they did. To the Chiefs. The Buccaneers take on the 49ers.
Buccaneers. Buccaneers. Yes.
Why did you say that like that?
I have maybe this morning, yesterday. I have no idea. CBS Sports Minute take.
No. It was there. It was during a live read yesterday.
Oh, it was. Yes. Okay. Oh, you guys are unbelievable.
That was a hard one to ignore.
You guys are just shoving me right out the door.
No. You know what it was? It was like I heard it. It was one of the breaks I was going to go to the bathroom. So, you know, I hear it. I'm like, did I hear that right? And as I'm sitting there taking a leak, I hear over the loudspeaker, Buccaneers. And I went, yeah, I did hear that right. That was a weird one.
Okay. Moment of the day. I wasn't sure how I was going to do that or not. I asked the guys, and then Pete Hoffman comes walking in, and the first thing he goes, Buccaneers.
All right. And he can't speak to begin with. So if he's making fun of Boomer, that's really bad.
Yeah.
Big time, yes. Sold.
All right, very good, Jerry. Thank you.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah?
How long are we all going to be up tonight watching TV, seeing the results come in and how it's all going to unfold in front of us?
So I thought about this. I will take it as far as any of the World Series games went that I stayed up for, but not any further than that. So the answer to that is 11:15 is the latest I will stay up. 11:15.
Now, I know, Eddie, you're in bed by 7, I think. Or you
six.
Said, six. Al, how about you?
8 p.m. latest.
That's it.
Yeah. I'm going to treat this like a Jets game. I'm going to get up and ask Alexa who won.
I got to tell you, my buddy Bill Hemmer is unbelievable in front of those, the state voting boards and all that.
Yeah, every one of the networks pumps their guy up like it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, Bill Hemmer is amazing. He knows everything about every county in the country. And the way that they have voted, I don't know how he can keep it all straight.
Listen, he's good. And then, what was that other guy? There's the guy with the gray hair.
who does it, and then there's the Kornacki guy who does it. Everybody does it. Everybody's got a guy. It's like there's stupid rules officials now. Everybody's got somebody. Dean Blandino or whoever the hell
Gene
else.
Gene Steratore. Yeah, the NHL's contact. Got him now.
You know, you can see here, guys, he makes contact. It's the Gene Steratore Yinzer that comes out.
Yes.
Now, I can't say there's a lot of confidence, but the contact there on the down. Like, whoa, Gene, chill.
Whoa. It gets very exciting, yes.
It's very Pittsburgh there. But, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. We'll see how long
I don't know. I kind of feel like in 16 and 20, I stayed up until like the wee hours of the morning.
I see. I can't, at some point, I got to get some rest. I mean, I'm going to want to know, but like at some point, I will be able to nap tomorrow, though. I got nothing going on in the afternoon.
It is fascinating the way that it all breaks down and how they can micro analyze pretty much every little county and precinct and the way things go, and then how screwed up one state is compared to another state.
Yeah.
How one state can have all of their results and tally all their results immediately, and in other states it takes 3 more weeks.
Mm-hmm. I don't get it. But that's every state is its own little bundle of joy, is it
not?
Oh,
we found another 1 million votes over here that we got to get. Where were they?
Let's go to Tom and Randolph. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy Election Day.
Yeah, Tommy, what's happening, brother?
Not much. Just wanted to call G. I had a recommendation for you as a Vikings fan. I don't know if you use Reddit much, but there's this page or subreddit called V_Darnold. Pretty much what it is, it's like this group of just like sycophant Sam Darnold fans, some that are probably doing it ironically, some that are probably legit. And the catch to the page is how they talk about him. They do it in a very Donald Trump fashion. So, for example, they'll like have nicknames for people. So instead of Baker Mayfield, it'll be Faker Mayfield. Instead of Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Frogers. Or they'll even just post other things that are like that are very Trump-esque, like when his head got pulled sideways, saying it was an assassination attempt. when they had another one, they showed Justin Jefferson saying, like, oh, he's leading the league in these stats. And someone was like, no one has done more for black wide receivers than Sam Darnold.
You got to get on that page,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. This sounds very funny and very creative, and I'm glad that people are enjoying that. That is a good one, Tom. Thank you.
You know what I'm enjoying? I'm actually enjoying, like, these kids that ultimately have found at least a home for now, both Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. You got to be happy for them. They weren't bad guys. They were good guys. They just got thrust into situations that with two of the most like incredibly inconsistent franchises.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm putting that nicely.
Yeah, that's true. Inconsistence.
And then they both end up at the Panthers, which is like, what are you guys thinking about?
Yeah, I know. And now they're sitting there with Bryce Young,
Have you ever seen Sean McVay on the sideline, the head coach of the Rams?
Yeah, of course. He's moving around like crazy.
That guy is like so intense and so hyper.
Right.
Imagine him and Baker Mayfield when they had Baker for like those 3 or 4 games, whatever it was. And somehow Baker figured out how to win a game on Monday Night Football without
He was there for 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine those two guys.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield really got to give him a ton of credit for after that nonsense that happened to him in Cleveland to bounce around. And now, I mean, I feel like that team is in every game, Tampa. And they're 4-4 right now.
4-5, I believe.
4-5 now.
But they're right there, you know. In the NFC, man, it's not as, I don't know. We say it now because we've been here, for 18 years. And I've been, every year I'm like, there's going to be a team that has, or a number of teams that have losing records that are going to hit December, and they win 3 games in December, they make it to the playoffs. Because another team's going to lose their quarterback, just kind of like what is happening to Dallas.
Yeah. Who is going to coach that team next year is going to be really interesting. Do they bottom out so bad that they have a chance at Shedeur Sanders? Does Deion go there? Is that the place Bill Belichick wants to go? If not, then what coach is going to go in there and want to deal with Jerry on his last legs?
Yep.
It's going to be
fascinating.
You remember last week we were talking about the Jets and the Giants. This was prior to the Jets beating Houston and the Giants losing to Washington, where they were in their respective conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets, I think, were either 15th or 16th, and the Giants were 15th or 16th.
Yeah.
Well, after beating Houston, this is what happens in the NFL. Now, all of a sudden, the Jets are 10th in the AFC, and the Giants, unfortunately, are 16th in the NFC. I mean, but, you know, like, so if the Jets, they look, playing at Arizona, everybody thought, okay, this is going to be a win. Let me just tell you something. Jonathan Gannon, their head coach out there, is doing an unbelievable job. And if the Jets can't stop the run, because that's what they're going to do. James Conner is going to run the ball. Kyler Murray is going to be running around all over the place. If they can't stop the run, it's going to be a long afternoon. But if they win that game and they get the 4-6, and then all of a sudden, maybe the Broncos lose to Kansas City, they drop back down. Maybe the Colts lose, they drop back down. There's the Bengals could lose Thursday night.
They could.
Against the Ravens.
I mean, we want to talk about a humongous game for them. They feel like they've had 50 of them so far this season, but they could either get back to 500 or 5-5 with a win over the Ravens or be down 4-6.
That would be huge. If the Bengals can win Thursday night, that would be huge for them because, like you said, it would get them to 500 and it would get them one game closer to the Ravens. Remember, in week 5, the Bengals and the Ravens went 41-38 into overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Neither team plays defense.
And well, the Bengals weren't at that point. They've gotten better since then.
Yeah, but still, it's not great. I mean, I know Trey Hendrickson had 4 sacks last week, but that was against the Raiders, and the Raiders ended up firing their entire offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I know. What the hell? Like, are they going to bring guys in from the outside now? Are they going to promote from within?
There may be a couple guys on the staff that they think can call plays. I'm not sure.
I mean, I can't imagine they're going to bring somebody in.
Marvin Lewis? I think Marvin Lewis is there helping Antonio.
Okay.
Pierce, I think he has been there.
Yeah.
You know, he's a defensive coach.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that it's funny. Because we don't know how Rich Bisaccia was going to turn out if they kept him there.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, you got to keep Rich Bisaccia after the John Gruden thing. And then they don't. And they hire Josh McDaniels. That's a disaster. And then Antonio Pierce takes over. And they're like, man, all right, we got to keep him. He inspired the team and kept everybody together as the interim head coach. And now he's going to be gone after a year.
So let's just say the Bengals lose to the Ravens, which is, I think, what you want if you are a Jet fan. Okay? And then you have Buffalo at Indianapolis. Say Buffalo wins. As a Jet fan, you want Buffalo to win right now because they're running away with the AFC East. You need Indianapolis to lose. Denver is in front of you. They are at Kansas City this week. Let's say the three of those teams lose. Pittsburgh is at Washington. Pittsburgh's another one because you don't know what's going to happen in the AFC North right now. Although right. They do have the lead, but if Baltimore wins and then Pittsburgh, I think one of the or two of the three teams in the AFC North are going to make it. I feel like it. So it's either going to be Pittsburgh and Baltimore, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, Cincinnati and Baltimore. It's gonna be, two of those three teams should make it to the playoffs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy.
It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.